Father, to call thee our Father, for we know that in dispensations past, no believer on earth had that prerogative. We thank thee that because we are members of the royal family, that we can cry, Abba, that is to say, Father. And so, Father, as we come together this evening, we do so for the purpose of learning from thy word, so that we can be empowered by thy truth, for we know that that is the source of all power in our lives, through the filling of the Spirit. Therefore, may God the Holy Spirit communicate to us that which is necessary for our spiritual advance, for we ask in Christ's name, amen. All right, if you would, open your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians 2. It was brought to my attention that I missed a verse last night. Well, my intention, of course, was not to go over it exegetically. I'm trying to give you the flow of the particular passage in showing you that the word spirit must be understood in the light of its context. Here is the Greek word, and of course, spirit isn't even a good translation, but it's the best we can come up with. Pneuma. Now, if you hear it pronounced pneuma, that's only because people don't know how to speak the Greek language. Pneuma, every letter in the Greek language is pronounced. There are no silent letters, and diphthongs, when they combine, have certain sounds. The epsilon, when they combine, they come out ev, as in we even transliterate this into English, and we call it what? Evangel. 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 We don't say evangel. Somebody would say, as a retard. It's legitimate if you can't speak the language properly, or you have a speech defect. But I don't know why they've taught it this way, but they have, and so they have a bunch of morons running around trying to pronounce the language. When it is a spoken language today, and it is written exactly the same and understood exactly the same as it was 2,000 years ago. It is not some foreign, mystical, supernatural, heavenly, biblical language. It is a language that everyone on the street in Greece speaks today. It's exactly the same language that I was taught as a child. It's the same language that I have spoken all my life. Now, there are some words that are quite technical, which I have had to learn. That's why I took 4 years of Greek in college. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to use a language and it's a known language, now Latin, okay, we can go around saying we don't know how they pronounced it because the language is dead. No one has spoken Latin since the last Latin. Whatever that means. So if you're going to speak the language or at least attempt to pronounce it, or say, this is the wrong pronunciation, but it's the best I can come up with since I have difficulty with it. But these people talk like they're speaking by authority, like God spoke to them and said, say, and that's not the way it's pronounced. All right, pneuma. Pneuma to Theou is the Spirit of God. The word spirit, now in the New King James, I don't know if they did the same thing in, well, I'll transliterate it for you so you can get an idea of what it sounds like, P-N-E-V-M-A, pneuma. Now, it's true that we get the word pneumatic from it, only because they mispronounced the word. It should be pneumatic. What do we do with the P in English? We make it silent. There are no silent letters in the Greek language. Every letter is pronounced. We say psalms. The Greeks say psalm. Notice the P, the S, the A, the L, and the M. Psalm. Actually, it's psalma, meaning song or poem. All right, the word spirit in the New King James is capitalized when referring to the Holy Spirit, and then it is in lowercase when it refers to other than the Spirit of God, that is. The thing is, what we're trying to show by using this passage is that man does not have a human spirit at physical birth. He is spiritually dead, which means that he has no capacity for anything spiritual. He cannot understand things that are spiritual. He does not have the ability to understand anything that is spiritual. Why? Because he is spiritually a corpse. Now, of course, in Arminian theology, they suggest that man has some quality that is savable. And with that as a premise, if there's a quality in man that is savable, then that quality can be lost and they lose their salvation. That's how they build around the fact that they can lose what God has so freely given. But if you believe that man is totally and irrevocably sinful and that he is totally depraved, then he cannot get any lower than totally depraved in the state of his salvation to lose it. If you're at rock bottom when you got saved, how much lower do you have to get to lose what God gave you when you were at the bottom? Sub-bottom? He gave you spiritual life when you were spiritually dead. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the prince of this world, or the power of this world, the prince of the power of the air, who now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul's whole argument in the second chapter of Ephesians deals with that. And so Paul is reinforcing to the Corinthians that they were spiritually dead, and therefore he is simply telling us 2,000 years later that we were spiritually dead and did not have a human spirit. Now, there are those that say that man has a human spirit, but it's lying dormant. Well, I've got a problem with that, because that was the whole basis of modern theology. Modern theology said that when you came to church or got involved in any kind of Christian service, that became the fire that lit the candle that was there potentially, and therefore, as you come to church, it swells up into the flames of eternal life. And as I've suggested to you, those are the wrong flames. I love these phrases, like the Roman Catholic Church has the doctrine of the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. That's exactly what it is. One great assumption. There's no truth to it at all. And the perpetuality of her virginity, and of course that she was born of a virgin, that is the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, is sheer nonsense, because that would suggest that her mother was in fact a virgin, and that her mother would have had to have been a virgin all the way back to who? Eve? Well, then you'd have to have another generation on the scene somewhere. Well, now we're into Mormonism, because they've got people in pre-existence. You see, that's why you have to keep coming back. God says you got to keep coming back until you get it right. Well, they'll never get it right. And they're only here once, by the way, and they got it wrong initially. And they'll find out at the end of the road that Jesus Christ is God, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. I've heard people argue the point. They said nowhere in Scripture did Jesus ever call himself God. What Bible are they reading? Not the same one I read. Thou makest thyself to be God. So he said, thou sayest. Now, on another occasion, he referred in John chapter 8 to his pre-existence. And they understood it perfectly. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they said, wait a minute, you're not even 50 years old yet. How can you say that you were around when Abraham was around? And he said, let me tell you something. Before Abraham was, I am. And they understood exactly what the I am was, because the I am was the all-sufficient one who had spoken to Abraham. And at that saying, they picked up stones to stone him, for he made himself to be God. Even the devils quake That's the one thing they will attest to each other regarding. They will never attest to it, however, when questioned. By devils, I refer to demons and or fallen spirits. Now, the verse that I missed was verse 5. And just so that no one reads that and says, uh-oh, here we have it. Your faith should be in the Holy Spirit. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Notice the comparative. Throughout the entire section, what has Paul been comparing? The wisdom of man as opposed to the wisdom of God. The spirit of man, his humanity, as opposed to the spirit of God, deity. The availability of the wisdom of man that can only bring what? At best, man's development in his own wisdom. Whereas the comparison is the Spirit of God and the wisdom of the Spirit. So your faith should not be in man's wisdom, but rather, see there's the conjunction of contrast, Allah, in the power of God. Now the power of God is available to all believers when you confess your sin and enter into the power realm through the filling of the Spirit. You're not having faith in the Holy Spirit. You're having faith in the development of the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a vast difference. Now then, what is the power source that the Holy Spirit uses to cause us to grow? The Word of God is alive and powerful. There it is. There's the energy that the Spirit uses. Apart from the Word of God, the Spirit of God will use none of you. He'll only use the content of the Word that is found within your human spirit. Why? Because it has been spiritually communicated. Even though natural words are used, we've already gone over this, if you understand the principle of Operation Z, where natural phenomena is converted to spiritual phenomena through the filling of the Spirit, it is then converted from gnosis to epinosis, again by means of the filling of the Spirit, where it can be used by the Holy Spirit in the filling of the Spirit in the life of the believer that has that doctrine contained within their souls. My pastor years ago used to say the only thing that God has ever promised to put in our mouths is air under common grace. You've heard people say, well, you just open your mouth and God will put the words in it. Wrong. That's the way it may have been in Old Testament times. But they didn't have the completion of the canon. As a matter of fact, most of them didn't even have what we call Bibles. You can imagine the Mack truck you'd have to need to carry around just one book. It was written on parchment. And it was all handwritten. They didn't have printing presses. Remember, that wasn't the advent of the printing press, 16th century with Gutenberg. And what did he print first, by the way? The Bible. First thing ever come into print was the Word of God. It's always been amazing to me why Bibles are so expensive. You'd think they were gold. No drinking in the auditorium. Unless it's water, of course. And even then, it's not allowed. Unless you're suffering with a fever of about 108. And then we'll douse you in ice cubes. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in contrast, what? In God's power, not man's power. Remember Jeremiah says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh the flesh his arm, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and makes the Lord his strength. There's where your power comes from. And any power that we can develop is weak at best. Remember the song that God sings, anything you can do, I can do better. All right, we left off last night around verse 11. But let's pick up on all the spirits again so that we don't get confused. beginning of verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, reference to the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, literally, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I'm reading from the New King James. If you're following in the New American Standard or in the Old King James, you'll see it's slightly different. It's correct, however. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of man? The question here is, what does man know? Well, he knows the best he can know based on his humanity, the spirit of man. It's not talking about a human spirit. It's talking about the spirit of humanity. The human spirit is that which is imputed to the believer at the moment of salvation. That is the new thing that is created in man. That is the total development of the book of Ephesians. That is the argument of the warfare of the believer internally, of putting off the old man, which is what? The sin nature, made in the likeness of Adam after the fall, and put on the new man, the human spirit, which is made in likeness of Christ after regeneration. And that's why all the information that you learn, all the doctrine that you learn, should be recorded in your human spirit. But as we saw, there is a way where a believer can short-circuit that and attempt to shortcut it. Under the normal process of Z, a pastor, teacher, or a communicator will communicate doctrine to the human spirit via the filling of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's the first place it goes. That's where it resides. That's where it's stored. But now you say it's got to be used. All right, so it comes out of the human spirit into the left lobe as gnosis. Gnosis is simply the knowledge of the subject. Again, we have by means of the filling of the Spirit. Then it is sent over to the right lobe where it becomes epinosis. Now it can be launched. This is the launching pad of the soul. However, at any point we know that you can shut down. You can say no here, no here, no here, and it goes no further. Well, let's see Operation Loser. Here's the pastor teacher is communicating the word. It goes directly from him into the left lobe. And then there's an attempt to send it to the right lobe. See L for loser. I like that. Why? And you notice there's no filling of the spirit involved here. So what happens? The information is interpreted by, you only have two sources of interpretation. You only have two sources of power. One is the Holy Spirit. Well, he's not operating now. What's the other power? Is that deep? What's the other power available to us? Human reasoning through the sin nature. And what does the sin nature know about spiritual things? It thinks they're stupid. The sin nature thinks it's foolishness. It's moronic. It's dumb. It's silly. And so here's the sin nature trying to make sense out of what is being communicated by means of the Spirit. Well, it goes right up to here. The sin nature takes a hold of it and says, foolishness to me, but this guy's demanding that I give him some information. And so he feeds it in. And it comes in as FD for false doctrine. There's no spiritual phenomena connected with it. It ends up over here as false doctrine. Like you start adding things to the salvation package. Faith plus something. Faith plus dedication. Or even better yet, great faith producing salvation. You don't have any great faith. And it isn't your faith anyway. Haven't you concluded yet? Haven't you caught on this? If the faith originates in the source of the faith, then it's works. Whereas if the faith is directed to an object, then it is non-meritorious because it's based on the accomplishments of another. You know how many people still don't understand that, and they've been saved and been teaching categorically for 20 years? I could have grabbed a guy by the throat the other day. He didn't have a clue And I almost want to say to him, please don't teach anymore. We have enough confused people running around. By the way, you ought to thank God that we have people like Colonel Thieme and yours truly that are willing to stand and teach the truth. It's not popular. So how do you know it's not popular? Look around you. You see people waiting online to get in here on Sunday morning? But go to Dr. Highpocket's church down the street and you'll see 1,000 people, 2,000, 5,000. What does he teach? Nothing. That's popular. Nothing is popular, you see. Doctrine is not popular in the time in which we live. It wasn't popular in Paul's day. I don't know where we ever got the idea that we're going to have this great wave of popularity before the rapture. I see just the opposite. The Lord Jesus even said, when I return to earth, shall I find any faith? In other words, are there going to be anybody who believes? That's like the saying in Rome at one time, oh, to find a virgin. There were no virgins left in Rome. Which is a bold statement, by the way. When did they start? At birth? And what happens with false doctrine? Well, you say, now I'm going to apply it. So here you have an adversity situation. And you're filled with the Spirit. So you hear about adversity and stress, and you say, oh, I don't want that stress stuff. But you still got all this false doctrine in your soul. And so the adversity comes, and you try to apply this sin nature learned false doctrine, and you fail. So what do you then do? What's your grandiose, arrogant conclusion? Doctrine doesn't work. I'm sorry for you, Charlie. It works for a lot of people. And if you ever hear that from someone, let me tell you what they've just said. They haven't learned a thing through the filling of the Spirit. They try to learn it through their own intelligence. I'd much rather rely on the IQ of the Spirit, wouldn't you? Now, I know some of you have high IQs. You might be as high as mine. You might be higher than mine. That's irrelevant. But when it comes to learning doctrine, you know what you got for an IQ? Zero. And by the way, some of you think you have IQs and you're clucks. You don't have high IQs at all. And you try to combat the angelic world with your IQ when the stupidest angel probably has an IQ of about 4 jillion. There's no bell curve for them. They ring it. They write the curve. And then you have the Holy Spirit's IQ. You say, well, what's that? You want to contemplate something? There you go. That's infinity, by the way, for those of you that don't know it. It's the sign for it. His IQ is infinitesimal. Large. Infinitesimal is small, isn't it? All right, so we have then sin nature attempting to understand spiritual truth. Well, what does the Word of God say about that? What kind of a man is it, the natural man? All right, let's see what the natural man has to say. Let's continue. For what man knows except the spirit of man which is in him, the spirit of humanity? Even so, notice the comparative again. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So what have you got? Draw yourself a little chart. Over here you have man. What can man know? Only things that are relative to man. And how can man know things relative to God? Well, it's on the other side. There's a barrier there. I know there's a cross there, but that I'm not trying to do anything with this. If I was teaching the gospel, it'd be a different story altogether. Well, I am, actually. Well, how do you understand the things of God? The Spirit of God. Now, look how deep this is. When man is under control of the Spirit of God, voila! He now knows the things of the Spirit of God. And when he's not, the best he can know is the things of man. What do dogs know the things of? Dogs. Do they understand cats? No. Do cats understand mice? No, they eat them. They're not interested in understanding them. They look at them and that's food. Okay? Do cats understand people? Yeah, I don't think so. But they can sure do it to us, can't they? Do dogs understand human things? Now, and do you ever try to reason with a dog and then call it stupid because it didn't understand what you were trying to reason with it? Huh? It can only understand dog things. I mean, is that too difficult? Poor thing. It's a dog. And what about man? Man can only understand the things of man. Why? Because he's mere man. He's 666. Six, 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 the emphasis of man. Man at best. Three times over. Unholy Trinity. Man, man, and man. All right, so he's got a spirit. An understanding. And God has a spirit, which is holy. Here is where the plight lies. We have to get in tune with the spirit. The spirit doesn't have to get in tune with us. Okay, next. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, end of verse 11. Now, we have not received, literally, the Spirit or the understanding of the world, but rather the Spirit which is from God, we believers, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in man's wisdom, but rather what the Holy Spirit teaches. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He compares spiritual with spiritual things. Verse 14. But the natural man, the unregenerate man, the man without the Spirit, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why doesn't he receive them? Because the sin nature says they are foolishness. By the way, if you're here tonight and the Word of God just doesn't seem to make any sense to you, don't feel bad. I've got news for you. It's good news. It may be bad news at first, but it's good news. I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is the reason why you can't understand it is because you don't have a human spirit. See, look, I speak Greek fluently. If I started speaking to you in Greek, all of you would go, huh? What is that? Sounds like gibberish. No, English sounds like gibberish. You want to hear the fun the Greeks make of us. They say to them, the language sounds like blah, 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 blah. In monotone, because there's very little inflection with most Americans. And the British, oh, they have a real problem with them. They'll even ask you in certain places, are you USA? USA, USA. Or Brit. If you say Brit, they walk away from you. They just don't like the British. But now you wouldn't understand it. Do you ever walk in a room where everybody's speaking Russian? Yeah, you might get da. And you want to say duh. Because da means what? So you might get that. But how about all the other stuff in there, you know, that makes a difference? Like means of communication. Have you ever heard Gaelic spoken? I have. That's why Irish people have that accent. That accent is from the Gaelic language. Same with the Scots. Not Scotch. Scotch comes in a bottle. They're Scots. S-C-O-T-S. Scott. From Scotland, not Scotchland. Although they do make scotch there. Personally, I can't stand the stuff. It makes me go, woohoo! It does. Okay, what? It's terrible. Just don't like it at all. Never have, probably never will. You can't acquire a taste of something that tastes as bad as that. I think I'd rather eat liver. That's pretty bad. Why then, person who is here without a human spirit, do you wonder why you can't understand what's going on? You're not all there. And as soon as you confess Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord does something. Here's the good news. He gives you a human spirit. Believe me, if you're here tonight and you don't understand what's going on, trust me, everybody else does. Everybody else that has a human spirit. I don't really look down on the unbeliever. I pity them. Because I used to be one myself. And I didn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. I thought they were foolishness. I thought Christians were a bunch of crackpots. I thought Christian men were rather weird. Kind of faggy. And Christian women were bossy and horsey. Of course, you have non-Christian women who are also horsey and bossy. It's just part of the feminine genes, you understand. To neigh at the foot of the bed. Not all of them. There's nothing more beautiful than a subordinate Christian lady. When the Lord returns, will he find any subordinate Christian ladies on the face of the earth? Women's Lib has attempted to destroy that one, for sure. And by the way, girls, what have you been liberated from? I would rather think you've been liberated to something. Slavery. You've become enslaved to your own liberation, so-called. There's nothing more free than a woman who is subordinate to a right man. There's nothing more peaceful and relaxing than to know that there's a guy there who'd be willing to die for you and supply your every need and wait on you and care for you and protect you. But no man wants to do that to a horse. Now, some of you have horses and you know what you do with them. You feed them hay and you ride them. And occasionally you walk up to them and you pat them on the nose. Or on the backside, and you say, everything's going to be all right, and they go clip-clopping off. Now you know where the word horsey female came from. About 6 months ago, they had this thing on TV. They were going to show the most sexy, beautiful woman in Hollywood. I won't tell you who she is, but you know what she looks like to me? A horse's face. There's nothing pretty about her at all. They say she's sexy. I don't think she's sexy at all. She's a loudmouth and a horsey female. And by the way, sexy is not how you look on the outside. It's how you think on the inside. So you could look uglier than a mud fence. And if you have beauty on the inside, you're a sexpot. And if you don't have it on the inside, I don't care if people faint in your presence. You're nothing. Well, people do faint, you know, in the presence of movie stars. Why? I'll never know. Remember the teenage rage? Just faint and dent away. Oh, I saw him. Get a life. You see, the man without a human spirit doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. If you're here tonight without a human spirit, you're not going to understand spiritual things. I know this is difficult, but watch. Here's the Holy Spirit attempting to communicate to Zero. Here's the Holy Spirit attempting to communicate to the human spirit. There's affinity there. Why? Because He created this. This is the new creature in Christ. Then He indwells us to keep tabs on it. Isn't that wonderful to know that we have someone that is constantly attending to our souls? Inside. So then when you hear Holy Spirit convey truth, your human spirit goes, of course, I understand that. Because inside you got the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the filling of the Spirit simply teaches the human spirit. Watch. Let's say by some strange quirk, the filling of the Spirit occurred in the non-believer. What's he going to communicate to nothing? Nothing. There's nothing he can communicate. You say, but wait a minute, the unbeliever has nothing. So how can the Holy Spirit communicate? He becomes the human spirit for the unbeliever. Just long enough for the unbeliever to say, I believe. And so where does that belief come from? From the Holy Spirit. And you see, it's not you taking something in, it's you breathing something out. You already took in the gospel. Christ died for your sins. The issue is no longer sins. The issue now is Christ. What think ye of Christ? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You have no human spirit. If you're positive to the Word, the Holy Spirit says, believe it. And all you have to say is, okay. And then He permanently indwells you and gives you a human spirit forever. And then you come to Bible class and then you say, wait a minute, now I see why everybody's excited about this stuff. I understand it. It's beginning to make sense. Unless you get out of fellowship. See, when you're out of fellowship, you're right back in the same status as being natural. Even though technically you cannot be. Or experientially you can't be. But technically you can. Why? Because the word natural is simply taken from the word soul. So look, here's your body. The body hears the physical vibration of words. Soul, that's the understanding of human phenomena. And that's what psychiatrists and psychologists deal with. That's why that's not the answer. What is the answer to most people's hang-ups? Doctrine. Now, of course, if your soul is so messed up that you can't hear what's going on, then at least you have to have some treatment or medication so that at least you can get all the other voices out of your head. Remember that gal that was here for a while and she was hearing voices? Which, by the way, is a very serious stage in paranoia and schizophrenia. We've learned, as of Sunday, I believe, I introduced to you the difference between the schizophrenic believer and the multiple personality believer. There's a difference. And then we have the human spirit. All right, this understands what? Food. That's what the body understands. The body understands pain. The body understands through its five senses. That's about it. It's got methods of perception, right? And if it's impaired in any way, then the individual is impaired. We have people at Westside that wear hearing aids. Why? Because their hearing is impaired. So that part of their perception is limited. I have a pastor friend that has, I don't know what's wrong with his, but his starts squealing sometimes. And so he'll be on the phone with me, and I'll be trying to explain something. All of a sudden, I hear, he says, wait a minute. I said, what's the matter? He said, I got to turn down my hearing aid. We had another one in our last church. They didn't even have the little ones that went in the ears. He had this big thing down here. And when he answered the phone, the first time I saw him, I couldn't believe it. He went, hello? I said, the man hears with his stomach. And then it dawned on me that he had a thing coming down here, you see? And that's where he'd speak. Anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. And he'd crank this thing up, and it'd make all kinds of noises, and I'd tell him to turn it down. And now you can get a television set the size of that. You know, to me, that's not a real improvement. So what do you need? A big magnifying glass. Oh, I got a little TV. Look at this. Isn't this fantastic? Where can you see it? Carry it in your pocket and say, oh, there's a ball game. You're in the game anyway. Now, what about the soul? All right, the soul understands through its natural abilities. And it's based on IQ. And, of course, IQ then develops into what we call knowledge. But it's all in the area of what? The natural. Human things. We even learn about birds and plants. We become horticulturists. We become botanists. We think we know them. And just about the time we think we know them, the animal does something and we go, why did it do that? And then the awful thing is this human IQ is so profound and this wisdom is so great that we want to identify with them. So now we want to make ourselves come from them. Weird. But see, that's the best man can do. You say, isn't organic evolution legitimate? It's sheer nonsense. Only an idiot would believe that. But you see, when you don't have a human spirit, if you're not all there, it sounds logical. That's like people coming over from Europe. You know how many times the Brooklyn Bridge was sold to foreigners? There was always some guy standing there. See that bridge? That's mine. Huh? You want to buy it? Cost you, how much do you have? That's good. That's enough. And they give them it in writing. So what? What's the writing? I give you something in writing too. It means nothing. Now, the third area. This is what becomes active in the believer. Now you can understand spiritual truth, and it's spiritual IQ that's involved. By the way, this is the beauty of this thing. Your human spirit makes sense out of your soul and then makes sense out of your body. And it balances it all out. You notice, by the way, for people who are dichotomous, that is body and soul, the amount of time they spend on their body and health and wealth, they got to get rich and they have to be healthy. And we're hearing today, there's a new drug that just came out. Man will actually be able to live considerably longer. What's considerably longer? A year? And they can never explain why people are still dying in their 20s and 30s. Well, those are accidents. Well, then what good do the vitamins do? They died healthy. Oh, I see. Death is inevitable. But modern science is attempting to convince us that man can live forever. Wrong. That's the devil's own lie. See? Eternal life without Christ. Please. And by the way, who would really want to live past 100 and say 25? Have you ever seen people at 100 years old? Occasionally I watch that morning program with the rather stout Christian guy. What's his name? Willard Scott. Who? Willard Scott, the weatherman. And he says, here's old dear, what's her name? She's 101. Okay? 100, yes, I know she's 101. And what is she going to look like at 102? I don't want to live to be 101. Shoot me. I want to be able to think and teach and fulfill the objective for which I'm on this earth. I doubt if I could do that at 101. God has other plans. Unless he intends that I get up here and people hold me up until I'm 101. I'm certainly not going to say, well, God, if you want me here at 101, he'll prop me up on something. Here I am, you know. Open your Bibles to you. There's no reason why this has to go, but it does. I must confess to you that in the last year, I've actually forgotten things. Before I was 60 years old, I forget very little. Very little. Except names. I never knew names. But those are not important. Faces are important. You've got to remember a person's face, not their name. Of course, it's always nice to be able to connect a name. That's why I love being a Baptist, because I could call everybody brother and be right. Now, the human spirit understands spiritual truth. That's where your growth comes. So you see, you're sitting there and you're saying, but I don't understand spiritual things. This is why. You only got these two parts working. Get it all together. Maybe this is the first time you've learned tonight. You're not all there. Did you ever walk into a house that was fully provided with electricity and they still had candles burning? No. I'm going to use the illustration as if you did. You know about electricity. They don't. So you see these beautiful lights. Gorgeous. Chandelier in the center. And they still have candles and oil lamps. You say, what's the matter with you people? There's a new power available. The house is equipped with it. And you go click and they're shocked. You think they're going to go back to the candles again? That's one thing up north that we've found. There's nothing. There's no substitute of 110 volts. 12 volts might be great. Coleman lanterns might be fantastic, as long as they don't put out any heat, and I don't know how you could do that. Batteries don't last forever. Sometimes they flicker, and you're sitting there, and in our bedroom you walk in, and oh, how appreciative you are if that room was just filled with, and I have it fully wired. And occasionally, we used to walk into the room, and I flip the switch. Oh, no electricity. So it's, you know, pump up the Coleman. Hissing away in the middle of the room. Or I got my wife one of these dual burner 12 volt fluorescent lights. But that's only in the little corner. So then you go into the drawer and you want to find something. And you got the flashlight stuff in your mouth. And we're supposed to be intelligent beings. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. Never will. Never will. They need divine help. And so do you. So do I. Isn't that why we're here? And why we're here? Sure. Let's pray. You're dismissed. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful time we've had in the study of your word. Again, reminding us that without the human spirit, we cannot understand spiritual truth. It's nonsense to us, whether we be believer or non-believer. But in and through the power of the Spirit, converting that into the power of the word, we can understand, we can apply, and we can glorify thee upon this earth. Dismiss us now as we continue to think on these things, for we ask in Christ's name. Amen.